Our passion didn't start with a mouth. It started with people, with the well-being of the profession. And if you're like me, maybe a little bit of your nerdiness in all things tech too. We all want to love what we do, but the truth is burnout, people problems, and glass ceilings can keep us from doing what we set out to do. So let's get back to the heart of connection. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. This show is about passing you the knowledge, the habits, the systems, and the strategies to lead your teams, lean on your tech, and listen to your gut while you take care of people and truly the overall health of our communities. Let's stop using the wrong end of the toothbrush, y'all. My name is Dr. Kelly Tanner. Oh, and uniquely, I'm a dental hygienist too. You can consider me a guru in the dental and leadership industry. With over 3 decades of experience, my goal is to take you to the next level by empowering growth, perspective, and confidence. By identifying the gaps, recognizing the plaque, and extracting the truth with the other experts in the field. I'll share their stories, empower you to own yours, and elevate your passion in the process. So have a seat in the chair, put on your bib, and let's get to work. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. I'm Dr. Kelly Tanner. I am at the Chicago Midwinter Dental Meeting in Chicago, and it is an amazing meeting, and I get to interview some of the best guests, including my friend, John Flippy. John, it's so nice having you.
Thank you. It is really great to be here.
Yeah, we have been on multiple DPR
masterminds.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the words together, just talking about different topics, and so today we get to learn more about you and your life path, and the listeners just love to hear about why dentistry for you. Like, did it choose you? Did you choose it?
So the story is that I am one of 2 children. I have a sister who's 6 years older than me. And when I was 3 years old, we were eating breakfast as a family, the 4 of us. And my sister has a loose primary molar. And she's chewing and she's like, ow, ow. And my mom and dad are like, what's going on? I said, my loose tooth hurts. And I remember my dad was like, well, just pull it. And my sister, she's still a patient. And I mean, to this day, she's still terrified. And so, you know, she's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So we finished breakfast and I took her into the little bathroom off our kitchen. And I put the lid down on the toilet and I had her sit. And I washed my hands and I got the little step stool that all kids have. And I climbed up on it and I was like, which one is it? And she was like, it's this one. And I went in and went, boink. And she couldn't believe that I did it and that everything was okay. So I walked into the kitchen and I still remember my mom was washing the dishes. And I said, Mom, look. And I held my hand up with blood all over it. And my mom went, what have you done? And I said, it's Connie's tooth. I'm going to be a dentist. So whether it chose me or I chose it, that is the God's honest truth story.
Did it stick in your head that that's what you were supposed to do after that?
Yeah, for some reason, it was always my path.
Okay.
Everybody went to high school. Everybody that I graduated with knew I was going to be a dentist.
So when you have patients now, do they have to come to your bathroom for you to do work?
Or? To start. I'm more comfortable there. You know. It's all about the environment. Yeah. Right. You know, I'm like,
only the best.
Yeah, this is my happy place.
All right. So you went to dental school.
Yep.
This was your story. And then, so did you know that you were going to love it up front? Or what did you love about it?
I loved the helping people part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize until later, I probably got a bit of an engineering mindset. So I'm real process oriented and that really helped.
Yeah.
But it was really all about the helping people part of it, the ability to do something that most people don't like and are afraid of, and to be able to make them comfortable with the process was the first thing. And then I got into it and I realized, oh my gosh, you know, that, I mean, this is fun. This is kind of what I was born to do. And it's been a rush ever since.
Awesome. So you graduate from dental school, then what'd you do?
So I graduated from dental school. And for about a year, I worked as an independent contractor in an office in Kansas City. My office today is 10 miles from the house I grew up in.
Oh, wow.
So I never left the area. I went to dental school. I got out. I spent an hour or an hour, a year, seems like an hour at this point. But I spent about a year in another office. And I didn't really get, I don't want to say support, because that's not the right word, but I was only in the office when the owner dentist was not in the office.
Okay.
So I didn't get a lot of mentorship. I didn't get a lot of, this is the way we do things. I had to figure it out on my own. And I think part of the reason that I do what I do now is that I didn't really have that safety net of being able to go to somebody and say, how do you do this? Or, you know, why did this happen? Or how can I avoid this? I had to just make the mistakes and then figure it out on my own. And it turns out God gave me a pretty good set of problem solving skills. But I figure that if as a dentist, if I work 4 days a week, and let's just say for easy math, because I'm not great with numbers over 32, if I help 10 people a day, that's 40 people a week.
Yeah.
But if I can help 100 dentists that see 40 people a week, I've now helped 4,000 people a week. And that exponential value of knowing that people are getting better outcomes is a tremendous thing. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, you're creating this ripple effect, and you're touching more. It's similar to a story that I had when I was deciding whether I was going to go to graduate school, and I was in those four walls, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to do this larger, and I didn't really know what that meant,
right?
Until I was in the middle of it, right? Yeah, and you're like, oh no, now this makes sense. And so you're articulating it very well, and what you're saying is that you knew that you wanted to impact more people with what you could teach.
You know, I don't know that I necessarily, like, in my heart knew it. It was really kind of after I started doing it that I realized I was reaching people. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. One of the reasons that I started my blog, and I started blogging, I don't even know, probably 15 years ago, might be longer. No, it's longer than 15 years. But anyway, I was writing for the magazine, but when you do something in print, you never really know if one people read it or nobody read it or 1,000 people read it.
Yeah.
And so when the idea of doing these back then weblogs, which, you know, morphed into the blog the reason I started doing it was I can actually write something and then I can click on a link or click on a button and I can see how many people read that.
Yeah. You know?
And that made a big impact for me. And I mean, I proudly say I've got over 2.5 million unique site visits in the time I've been doing this.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that, who knows? It's not like the same people every day, but I hope I make an impact. And once again, it's all about helping people.
Yes.
You know, if I can make a mistake, if I can stick, you know, the butter knife in the toaster and give myself a new hairdo, and I can tell people, whatever you do, do not pick up the butter knife and put it in the toaster, then we don't have everybody with bad hairdos, right? And that's what it's about. You know, you learn from your mistakes. And if you learn from your mistakes, then you don't repeat them.
Right.
So
a lot of people are afraid to make them.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. So what would you say to those folks who are, hey, how are you? What do you say to those people who are so, like, scared of taking a next step into something, that are so afraid of failure?
I can't tell you very many things that I have learned from successes, but every failure is a learning opportunity. My grandpa used to say to me when I was a kid, and my grandpa died when I was 12, so I didn't ever really get a chance to figure this out for sure and then thank him for it. But grandpa, thank you. He used to say, son, experience is what you get 5 seconds after you needed it in the first place. And, you know, that's so true. When something goes wrong, you're like, oh, I'm never doing that again. You can't be, I mean, I'm not saying be cavalier and break everything, but when something breaks, that is the time that you evaluate what happened And then you say, what went wrong and how can I fix it? Yeah. Now, to the young dentists that are watching this, I would say one of the best ideas I ever had was when I first started in practice, I didn't have the safety net of another doctor. And it occurred to me one day to keep a clinical journal. And what I would do was every day at the end of the day, and this is back, it'd be easier now because you can, you know, you can voice dictate it or type it. But I was just taking a notebook and writing down, but I would go back through the patients that day that I saw. And especially if something went wrong, I would write down what I did, where the failure was. And then if I had to do this again, I would do X.
I love that.
And it's not like, you know, I had this great idea of, oh, I should journal and this will be great. But I just thought, you know, the old definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting something different to happen. So when I started to journal like that, it helped me process the information better. And I learned from those mistakes.
Reflective learning.
Yeah. And I often didn't have to really go back and like, oh, I remember like 3 months ago, you know, this happened. What did I do? Because the writing part of it and the processing part of it kind of stuck.
Yes.
You know, and I think back to when I was in college, one of my chemistry professors told us, you take notes in class, but if you really want to learn it and remember it, go home, read your notes, and rewrite them.
Okay.
And he said that the second process of that helps it stick.
Concrete.
Yeah. I think that makes a huge difference.
And I, you know, what's so funny now that you talk about chemistry class, because there was a journal in chemistry class that you wrote down what the reaction was,
right?
It was like, this was this, this is what it meant.
Yeah.
This reacted, it turned this, the reagent was this.
Right.
And you kept those notes, but it was a, it's a perfect example of that reflection of that exercise and what happened, what occurred. And it's in that moment, I think that, you know, however it is that you're journaling it or that you're saying, this is what happened and this is what I do differently, is that you're learning what went right, what went wrong.
Right.
But then also you're saying, how did I grow during this time? And what about you made that original judgment to even do that in the first place?
Right.
Like faulty thinking.
Yes. Almost. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer in every day we have successes and we have failures. We have pluses and we have minuses. And learning to really appreciate the pluses is huge. And then learning from the minuses is, everything is a gift. A failure, if you really look at it right, failure is a gift. Because once again, you know, if those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So if every failure you find out how to fix what went wrong, then you're actually having more success.
Yes.
And you can do that with, you know, with being a doctor, but you can do that with life. You can, you know, you can figure out that I lose my temper when. And then do what you can to maybe avoid those situations.
Yes.
You know, every time I talk to this person, I'm angry for 2 days. Well, if there's a pattern there, then either evaluate the communication or evaluate the friend.
Yeah. Or the facts.
Yes.
Or the facts of like, why did I get upset?
Yes.
Is that a real true reason?
Yes.
Is what I perceive, is that real or is it me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And then so I find that in questioning our own truth, we really figure out the essence of what we're trying to avoid, what in ourselves needs to change or tweak. And that's another deeper opportunity
to
improve on what we're doing in life.
100%. That's absolutely right.
So lean into it is what I'm hearing from you. Lean in because there's opportunity there for growth.
There's always opportunity.
So now you are this tech guru enthusiast. What do you call yourself? Technology enthusiast?
Technology evangelist.
Evangelist. I knew
that's,
it was a
that's the tagline.
I love that. And so tell us the viewers like what you're doing with that and how you're evangelizing and
okay. Good word. So I'll put it in a sports analogy because there was a football player, a quarterback, in the early to late 80s, maybe into the early 90s. His name was Steve DeBerg. I'm a Kansas City guy, and he actually played for the Chiefs for a while. And he was in, I think I'll get this right, he was in Tampa Bay, and then he was replaced by Vinny Testaverde. And then he went to, I believe it was the 49ers, and he was replaced by Joe Montana. And then he went to the Denver Broncos, and he was replaced by John Elway.
Okay.
All these young guns. And one time somebody asked him something like, how do you feel, you know, to always be pushed out? And he said, I am like the John the Baptist of the NFL, preparing the way for the next quarterback Messiah. And I thought, that is such a great quote. He was a really personable guy. But anyway, so I look upon what I do as I take new things, new concepts, new products, new technologies, and I apply them. And then I try to find what's the cream of the crop so that I can tell people about it.
Okay. So you're putting yourself in a position to, I mean, some people may say you put yourself at risk for using things that may not work as well, whatever, but you're testing it, telling them don't put the butter knife in the toaster.
Exactly.
And so only use this.
Yeah. Or don't buy this toaster, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And the other nice thing about what I do is that I work a lot in product development as well. So I get to see things from the zip tie and duct tape stage all the way through the completed item. So when, you know, when somebody gets something and you realize that it doesn't work, or, you know, if there's something like, okay, the angle on this is too bad, I can't get it where I need it to go in the patient's mouth.
Right.
And I'm working with a prototype, and then they say, okay, well, you know, here's type B, and we change the angle from 90 degrees to 45 degrees. Is that better?
Yeah.
It's really rewarding then to when the thing actually comes to market, that if people use it and like it and realize that I had a part in that,
that's
about making
so cool.
It better for everybody else, that's really rewarding.
Yeah. That's a true sense of, it's rewarding. It's altruistic on your part to be able to say, this is my gift I'm giving.
I mean,
it is, it's your opinion. It's because of all the skills and things that you've honed in on over the years to say, this might work better if. Right. But you only knew that piece of information because you've used 25, 75 other things.
Right.
Right. To give them that information and that output that only a human can.
And I've also broken a lot of things.
You know? Okay.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
You know, if they make something, there was a composite gun. I mean, you know, you can't get really much simpler in dental tech than a composite gun. And so here's a prototype, evaluate the shape and blah, blah, blah. And I happened to use a certain brand of composite that was a little bit more dense. And I went to express the material and the gun broke.
Shoot.
I mean, the plastic cracked. And I was like, I called him. I was like, I broke it. And they were like, okay, well, send it in. Send it back to us. Send them back to us. And we're like, okay, we've reinforced that point of failure. We've changed the material to make it a little stronger to withstand. And, you know, because if they don't know that and they release a product to the market and everybody has to send it back because it's broken, I mean, it's a beta test.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want everybody doing something that doesn't work. Like, you know, nobody wants that. The manufacturers don't want that. The doctors don't want it. The doctors don't want it for their patients.
The investors don't want that.
No, exactly right.
All right. So you're putting yourself out there to help other people in that way as well. So you're also, you go around and you lecture and you educate about your findings as well.
Yes.
Right? Hands-on courses as well.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
So, you know, what I try and do is I tell people that the things that I talk about, the things that I write about, they're all things that I've touched. They're all things that I use. They're all things I believe in. Because integrity on that is so important. I tell my kids, when you die, the only thing that goes in that box with you is your honor. And if you sell that, if you give it away, or you don't care enough to keep an eye on it, it never comes back. Once you give that away or lose it, it doesn't ever come back. So I want people to know that if he says it works, or he says only do this, or he says don't do that, that they can believe that, because that's so important. You know, we live in a world now where everybody's got a voice, everybody's got a forum, and that's a great thing. But with everything, with everybody having a voice, you need to be careful what you say.
It gets loud.
It does. My son is a huge Spider-Man fan. He's 23 years old. He still loves Spider-Man. But Spider-Man's motto is, with great power comes great responsibility. And that's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, too, we were just talking a while ago about how there's so many more podcasts popping up, which is awesome. Because people are getting to, I want everyone to be successful in everything they choose to do in this lifetime. There's so much opportunity for us. But with that, too, it could potentially dilute. I guess my point is, people have to go through the process to get to where they're recommending something. So people can say, in fact, I know that's true.
Right.
I know 100% that whenever I listen to that person, it saves me so much more of this time, money, whatever, patience, something, versus a person who tried it once or twice that's kind of halfway doing it. And I've seen that where they're the expert, and it's like, not that you're trying to be judgmental, but it's like, okay, how are you evaluating this? And you're asking more questions about that.
Exactly.
I think we need to ask that question.
Yeah. I mean, you need to have a certain amount of experience. You need to have a certain amount of integrity. And I mean, integrity is the most important thing, at least to me. And when everybody has a voice, the only problem is everybody has a voice.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a plus, but everything is a yin and a yang, a plus and a minus. You know, every failure equals an opportunity. Every success equals a joy, but you've got to use the gifts wisely.
Yeah.
You know,
I
think one of the things that's kind of been unfortunate about having the voice is everybody wants to be an influencer. Mm-hmm. And that's a really highly responsible thing that you're doing.
That is true.
Know?
That is very true.
It's kind of like, I went to a little seminar one time that they gave for my kid's school, and it was given by, I wish I could remember his name, but this guy does this, I mean, out of the goodness of his heart. Now, they may pay him, I don't know, but he's very passionate. It's called Public and Permanent. And he talks about, those kids are going to get cell phones. And those kids are going to use those either for good or for bad. And he talks about, you know, once you post that photo on Instagram, you don't get a second chance to, you know, you can't take that back. Once something gets out, it's gone. And he said, people can ruin their lives with handguns. They can ruin their lives with the wrong picture posted.
Yes.
And yet nobody says, oh, I wouldn't want my 12-year-old to carry a Glock 9mm to school, but they'll let them have the phone. And they can, you know, they can do a lot of damage with the phone.
Yeah.
And with that, and like I said, with great power comes great responsibility. We have to think about those things.
Yes. And so this comes to mind, too, because I'm the one usually taking the pictures, and my kids will say, don't post that. Don't post that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not. I'm just keeping it for my collection.
Right.
Because I'm responsible. And they're like, delete it. Or if they don't trust me,
delete it.
I want to watch you delete it. I'm like, but then I have it in the deleted files. But no, I love what you said there, with great power comes great responsibility. And you're exactly right, because we have to be careful about what we are influencing.
Yes.
What behavior we're influencing.
Yes.
Is that what you want your brand to be? I mean, I have three kids, 19, 17, and 13 at the time of this recording. And it's hard. It's hard being a parent with children that those ages.
It is. It really truly
is. And putting up the guardrails, because they have to learn that responsibility too.
Yeah.
They have to know what's right when you walk away.
Well, and you know, we're a little off track on dentistry, but
yeah, but that's okay. It's
my mom, you know, I grew up in a different era. I'm a little bit older now. And when I was a kid, my mom would say, you know, like, don't do that. And because I'm a little analytical, I would always be like, why? And the response would be, because I told
because
you
I
not
said
to.
So.
Yeah, because, and I got in trouble in dental school for that too, because, you know, make sure you do it, you know, like, make sure you put this at this angle. And I'd be like, why? And they would always thought that I, you know, that I was questioning their authority or their knowledge. And in reality, I was just saying, if I know why it has to be at that angle, then it helps me process the information better.
Yeah.
So anyway, one of the things I've done as a parent is I've always told my kids the why, you know, don't stick the butter knife in the toaster. I did that once. I stuck my finger in a light socket once as a kid. You know, I don't want my kids to experience that same pain. So I try and let them know the why.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As opposed to just don't do this. Yeah. You know.
And also bring them into that as well. It's like, well, if you do that, what do you think's going to happen? And then they say, it's like, okay, that doesn't sound comfortable, or that doesn't seem like it's got a great outcome. So
right.
I've done the same with my children.
Yeah.
And they're still out on their own to do that. But so are you, dentists. I mean, we and hygienist team, we're all on our own doing the right thing when
no
one's looking.
We are.
And so we must do it with integrity so we can build the trust in our community.
Yeah.
And so that gets handed over as who we are and our legacy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I saw a great poster one time. It said, you really are what you truly are when nobody is watching you. And I think that's really true.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do the right thing when the right thing is hard, that says something.
Yeah, it does.
And in my life, the one thing I've found is normally if I have two choices and one of them seems pretty hard, the other one seems pretty easy, the right one is the hard one.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
My gut check.
Yeah.
Gut check.
There's a little voice.
There is the voice.
Yeah.
It's not, it's like the devil and the angel on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, you probably should go on the devil.
Well, and let me put this back into dentistry for a minute, because one of the other things that I do is for over 20 years, I was peer review chairman for the state of Missouri. So anytime a patient would file a peer review case, I would have to review it and see if it had merit. And then if I thought it had merit, then we would process it on down the line. And getting back to the voice, if you are in the middle of treatment and the little voice says, you know, like, this isn't going right, or I don't know if we should do that, listen to that voice. Because I saw a comedian one time and he said, the problem with life is it doesn't have a soundtrack. So when the scary parts happen, we don't have any warning of it. And it's the same thing, you know, it's like watching a movie and it's like, oh, don't open the basement door, you know, and then they open the basement door, like, please don't go down the stairs. Yeah. And then they get to the bottom of the stairs. You're like, oh, for the love of God, you've opened the door. You've been there. Don't open the closet. And sometimes in peer review cases, I would see a situation where somebody would do something and, you know, with the best of intentions, but it goes sideways. And then they would try and like, oh, okay, that went sideways. Well, I'll do this instead. And it's because we want to help people. But sometimes the best way to help is to either get help or to not help and let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah.
And I could just see it. I mean, I often thought about scary movies because I was like, I can see this, you know, this and then this. And then I'm like, oh no, I can pretty much guarantee the next thing I read is going to be this. And it would be.
Yeah.
But I only learned that because I was reading the records.
Right. Yeah.
So
you're watching the movie
unfold. Yeah. And that's one of the things I want to bring up is I've seen it. And I've seen it more than once. So let me pass along what I've learned.
So this is it's something intrinsic inside of you that just says, here's part of your purpose.
Yeah.
Is to help others and doing things the right way from what you have learned. And two, it's not just what you've learned, it's experience of others. So it's like this true culmination of what you have learned from everything, your experiences and everyone else.
Well, and you know, one of the bad things about dentistry, I think, is that perfection is so drilled into us that if it's not perfect, it's not right. And so few things in life are perfect. And we as dentists will beat ourselves up. I've lost literally days of sleep. Wow. If you added up all the hours of, oh, why did I do that? Or I hope this works, or I hope the patient is okay. And if you're going to do that, then just make sure that you celebrate your successes too.
I love that.
Because we kind of feel like if everything goes right and it's perfect, well, of course, that's what I'm supposed to do. If I don't do that, it's a disappointment. And we'll eat ourselves alive with the disappointment. But when you put those, you know,
the pressure.
That, yeah. and you do that to yourself. And then, but at the same time, then the next day, maybe you put in like, you know, 8 anterior crowns and they're gorgeous. And you just go, well, it was perfect because that's what I'm supposed to do. And you never enjoy that. You never say, you know, oh, that's, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy about that. We never celebrate our successes, but we ruminate on our failures.
Yeah. Celebrate success, my friends.
Bingo.
Celebrate it. Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Honesty, integrity, and get mentoring. You know, have a mentor.
Yes.
That's also what I'm hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can find a mentor, ask, take chances. You know, don't do crazy things and don't do risky things, but do take chances. Believe in yourself enough to say, what could go wrong? You know, and one of the best things that I had an instructor in school who was incredibly nice to me. I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for him. And one time he told me, Fluky, if you prepare for an emergency, it ceases to be one. And so, you know, when you're doing clinical work, always plan for the worst case scenario. If you've got an answer to the worst case scenario, then if it happens, it's not really that big a deal.
Right. It's just you taking potential information, problem solving that ahead of time for anything. And it's just with ease.
Yep.
With ease.
Yep.
It's just, this is what's happening right now. Cool, cool, cool. You know,
my family hears me say it time and time again, whether it's in my office or anywhere else, my job is to plan for failure. You know, my job is to plan for the worst possible outcome, because if I consider the worst possible outcome and I can fix it, then it's really not a bad outcome.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I love that. John, thank you so much for being on today.
You're welcome.
Thank
you.
This is so good.
Oh, well, hey, everybody, I'll leave you with the two most important things in life. Be nice. Show respect. You pull those two things off, everything else is cream cheese.
Exactly right. Yeah. Thank you for being on. For anyone who wants to get in touch with John, his information will be in the show notes. Thank you all for all that you do every day to serve our community, the public. Don't forget, do me a favor. Go on over to Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, please. YouTube, go on over to like, subscribe, share with all of your friends, and be well, my friends, with love. We'll see you next time.